Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Adam Vingan, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. We are live out at Dunkin', 326 Harding Place here in South Nashville. Lots of people out here. Lots of people on the roadways.
Lots of people in the air.
Lots of stuff going on.
A lot of people in the air.
A lot of folks in the air out here this
Welcome
morning.
Welcome to Nashville. I mean, are they coming or going, if they're coming that way?
I believe they're coming.
All right. So. Welcome to Nashville, everybody.
Yep. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Zach Lyons from Football and Other F Words. Zach, good morning. How are we doing?
Doing good. I got something I want to workshop with you guys. First time I'm saying this on air anywhere.
Okay.
So we call the combine, colloquially known or, you know, kind of referred to it as the Underwear Olympics. So
yes.
I would like to do this phase one, where it's OTAs and mini camps. Let's call it pajama practice. What do we think?
I like it.
Pajama practice.
I think we might be on to something.
Anything
here.
With alliteration is good.
Yeah.
So.
Pajama
it's
practice.
It's the key to a good pun.
Yes. Zach, that's some of your best work. Some of your best work.
So let's talk about pajama practice.
That's right. Well, Zach, I want to start with a question that we threw out there the other day that you weighed in on the text line, but I want you to expound on it here. So Treylon Burks, obviously, this is a different year for him. There's a lot of conversation about Treylon Burks this offseason for a guy who, at the moment, at best, is going to be their fourth receiver. So how do you define what success looks like for Treylon Burks in this role with this team this season?
Well, so I wrote about this for StackingInbox.com, where I take data from, like, all these wide receivers and how they did in their third year. We're talking, like, guys like Devontae Adams, Josh Reynolds, Nico Collins, a wide array of players. And obviously, he's not Devontae Adams or anything and, you know, all that kind of stuff, but they all took third-year leaps. And let's be honest here, Treylon Burks is not going to have the benefit, knock on wood, to have a lot of opportunities at the ball, because he's not going to be playing a lot of snaps. We're talking about a guy who's probably going to play 16 to 20 offensive snaps a game. So you define success for fans is like, okay, expect like 350 yards and three touchdowns and maybe a 62% catch rate, right?
Yeah.
But behind the scenes, you define success by he's got to put in the work. He's got to stay in shape. He's got to stay healthy. He's got to be involved in the meeting room, because there's a good chance that the Tennessee Titans are trying to kind of consider this his rookie year under this new regime. If he can stay healthy, if he puts in the work behind the scenes, I'm not saying he's a wide receiver too, but there's a good chance that the reason they're holding on to him and not trading him, the reason that they're pumping up, you know, everything about his offseason work, is they're trying to get him to be the wide receiver too in 2025. So I think fans got to understand that we're talking about a 300-yard wide receiver, no matter the praise heaped upon him by the staff.
So, Zach, to that point, you know, obviously they've added a lot to the wide receiver room this offseason. Ridley, Boyd coming in. You've already got Hopkins established there. The expectation is the Titans are going to throw the ball a lot more this year, quote-unquote, to use a term that Rex Road hates, modernizing the offense that they run here in Nashville. How big of a difference do you think we're actually going to see in terms of stylistically what this offense looks like this year?
We're going to see a major style shift in terms of personnel usage. So they're going to be using a ton of 11 personnel, which is, for those that may not know, the 11 is one running back, one tight end, three wide receivers. So they're going to be doing a lot of three wide receiver sets. We're talking about a guy in Tyler Boyd who has seen consistently, you know, anywhere from 600 to 800 snaps in a season under as the third wide receiver. So we're going to be seeing a real uptick in that. I don't know about shotgun or under center or anything like that. I haven't really gotten a true feel of how this is going to go for Will Levis and what he's good at. I would imagine seeing a lot of shotgun. But I do think that there's going to be an uptick in passing compared to what we have seen here in Nashville. Basically, I don't know if we're going to be like, you know, 660-something attempts or 700 attempts or anything crazy like that. But I do think that we're talking about being in the top 10, top 15 of passing attempts, where the Titans haven't been that I don't know if even ever in Nashville.
Zach Lyons joining us here on Robbie and Rex Road. Zach, let's continue talking about the pajama practice, to use your term. I like it. I think it can catch on. Yeah, I like the way it rolls off the tongue. So, you know, obviously, we've spent a lot of time, as we have already on this segment, we talked about Treylon Burks, we've talked about Will Levis, we've talked about the offensive line. So let's talk, I want your opinion on what the most undercovered, underreported, whatever you, however you want to describe it, most undercovered storyline through offseason practices for the Titans. What's something that's important that we maybe are not talking about enough?
Well, nobody has talked about that Bill Callahan and Brian Callahan are related. I mean, that has been the most undercover storyline through this whole, since he was hired. I mean, nobody talks about it enough, to be honest with you.
I think it's a great point.
Yeah, I'm letting that plane go by.
Thank you.
But I think the defense is kind of undercovered, and I get it. The offense is always sexy. The offense is the hot new thing. You have the quarterback. You have the, you know, new look wide receiver room. But this defense is amazing. I was talking about it on a football show. Amazing to cover, I think. But I was talking about it on the football show the fact that, you know, we were talking about Netflix joining up with the SEC, and Braden was like, you know, who do you think would be the best person to cover on the Tennessee Titans in like a docuseries? And I'm like, Denard Wilson, bar none. Let's talk about Denard Wilson. Let's follow him around. Give that man a camera. He needs to have like Monday daily motivational shows. And I think what Denard Wilson does for this defense, the way that it's constantly going to be a press coverage, like there is no options. There's no more Shane Bowen and Mike Vrabel just kind of like tossing out there. Okay, excuse me. Okay, you guys just do whatever you want to at the cornerback position. If you want to press, you press. If you want to line up 9 yards off the ball, go ahead and do that too. We don't care. Just go ahead and do whatever you want. But Denard Wilson is like, no, we are going to press. There is no other option. They've gotten the players to do it. Roger McCreary in the slot. I think that is totally undercover. But I also think that the lack of the pass rush, after what Brian Callahan said, that, you know, Arden Key is situational and we need two or three guys to rush the passer, and they're still going through with essentially the same group of people, it's perplexing. It's a big risk at this point in the offseason, because the best guy you can probably get is Carl Lawson, who has injury history. That's a big sticking point for this defense. You can have all the press coverage that you want. You can have, you know, the good defensive tackles, you know, defensive line, interior, pass rush, all that you want. But if you don't have guys on the edge that can actually play in the NFL, and I think Arden Key is a little bit more underrated after last year than what he should be, but there's no depth. And the biggest thing on this team at some of these spots is depth. There's no depth at safety. I'm fine with Elijah Molden at safety, if that's what it comes down to. But if him or Imani Hooker go down, there's no depth. So to me, like, it's the defense. There's a lack of depth on the defense, and then there is just a great, fantastic coach in Denard Wilson. I think just both those things need more coverage.
Zach, last thing for you here. What, if any, is your concern level with Tavondre Sweat at this point based on his lack of participation through the better part of OTAs and minicamp?
Well, he's injured. I mean, that happens. Soft tissue injuries happen. I'm assuming it's soft tissue injury. I think PK alluded on your all show and your all spot that is a lower body injury. Those things happen. So I have no reason to have any concern. It sounds like they did their due diligence throughout the whole process. This was their guy. If they had any kind of concerns, they wouldn't have stuck at that pick and picked. They would have drafted someone else. But that was their guy. And I never had any concerns heading into the draft. I thought that everybody kind of, you know, overrated what happened in the what happens in the NFL's eyes when it comes to his DWI. I thought he was always going to go in the second round. I thought that was a perfect spot. I have zero concern because it's also June. Now, if he shows up during the summer break, if he shows up at training camp, and he's overweight, he's gassed, or anything like that, and he may be there because he's got 5 weeks to get into NFL conditioning practice shape. If he shows up at training camp and he's, you know, fat and all that kind of stuff, then yeah, then we can have some cause for concern. But we have 5 weeks of conditioning. He seems to be in the building every day. They talk about the work that he's putting in behind the scenes that we all can't see. And I know that's hard to take someone at their word, but we have no reason to think that they're lying. So at this point, I have zero concern, and I'm still really excited about T'Vondre Sweat. I wish he was out there. I mean, he was out there for one open practice, but I wish he was out there the entire time. But at this point, it's not that big of a deal in my eyes. It becomes a big deal when it's actually not pajama practice.
That's right. Yep. Zach, great stuff as always, brother. Appreciate you taking time to be with us, and we will talk to you soon.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks.
Zach Lyons from Football and Other F-Words, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. We'll take your thoughts on what Zach had to say, your thoughts on all things Tennessee Titans coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Purchase your tickets now for the Music City Grand Prix at the Nashville Super Speedway Friday, September 13th through Sunday, September 15th at MusicCityGP.com. As the racing station, 1025 The Game has a special offer that is for a limited time. Use promo code GAME for a 20% discount now through June 16th, just a few days away. So make sure you get in that discount now. Promo code GAME at MusicCityGP.com. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. We are live out at Duncan, 326 Harding Place here in South Nashville. People are out. Coffee flowing. The donuts are flowing out here. Airplanes over the top. Got a lot of things going on right now. Come see us, 326 Harding Place here in South Nashville. Taking your thoughts right now, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Appreciate Zach Lyons from Football and Other F-Words joining us in the last segment. Lots of different things that he touched on there that I do think are really interesting. Starting on the defensive side of the ball, obviously the focus this offseason, Adam, has been on the offense. You've got Will Levis at quarterback that you're trying to figure out exactly what he is, an offensive line that was atrocious last year that they've addressed with a high pick in the draft, Bill Callahan coming over, Brian Callahan as an offensive guy now as the head coach. So it's been offense, offense, offense this offseason, and I get it. I understand why. I do think this defense is really intriguing. I don't know how good it's going to be. I don't know. You know, I remember last year wanting one of the training camp kind of fallacies that took place was, man, that Titans defense looks really good. Defense looks really good in camp. How much of that is the Titans defense? How much of that is the Titans offense making them look good? And it turned out that more of the answer was the Titans offense was atrocious, and that helped the Titans defense look pretty good in camp. Like, I still look at it. They've made additions at corner that if those guys stay healthy, they've got a chance to be special with that group. I am really interested to see from Denard Wilson how aggressive he is in terms of blitzing, bringing pressure from different spots, and the style in which they play defense. His background would suggest that there's going to be a lot of aggression on that side of the ball. You know, Zach brought up the pass rush part of this. There's not a ton of depth there. We talked about that yesterday with the pressure on Harold Landry, right? Like, everybody feels good about Harold Landry, the player that he is, and now that he's been healthy this offseason, I expect big things from him heading into this year. But there's not a ton of depth behind him in terms of edge rusher and generating pressure on the passer. So I think one of the intriguing parts about this year and how good or not good the Titans are going to be on the defensive side of the ball is how can they generate pressure from different spots on the defense, and how can Denard Wilson, who, by the way, is a first-time defensive coordinator heading into all this too, which you got a first-time play caller, first-time defensive coordinator, we'll see how it goes. How can he keep offenses off balance and generate pressure to have more of an effect on the quarterback than maybe the sum of their parts would suggest right now?
It's a good question, and I like what Denard Wilson has said about playing press coverage. He talked about attacking the ball with violence. Anytime you hear that as a football fan, you get excited, especially because the Titans as a team, according to our friend Teron Davenport, were utilized press coverage among – they were one of the lowest teams in the NFL last season.
I believe it.
According to Teron, they used it 33% of the time last season. 33% of the time last season, which was more than only three teams.
I mean, look, we exaggerate this a lot, but the amount of times it was like third and six, third and seven, and like Christian Fulton was 11 yards off the line of scrimmage. Like, what are you guys doing? What's going on out here? So I hope they fix that this year.
Right, and they brought in L'Jarius Sneed, who is a perfect fit for that. You know, according to Teron, again, the Chiefs have utilized press coverage more than any other team over the past two seasons. So Sneed is great in that role, wanting to get right up in the receiver's face. So I like that idea a lot, and you would think that would trickle down to the rest of the, you know, the rest of the defense, and or in terms of being able to get to the quarterback and create pressure on the quarterback more consistently. So yep. The fact that Denard Wilson wants his receivers up on the line every single time, right in the receiver's face, it's a breath of fresh air if you're a Titans fan, considering what happened over the past couple of seasons.
But it's also like it's an interesting philosophical discussion too. Of I think most people would agree. If you could hand select how to build your defense, you would start with a pass rush that can generate pressure on the quarterback by just rushing four. Because if you can do that, I mean, it's not rocket science. You can drop seven into coverage and four people rushing the passer if you're effective at doing that. We've seen some of the best defenses in the league over the last decade plus be able to do that. So I think everybody would agree that's how you would build your defense if given the choice. I do wonder, though, like, if the Titans can stay healthy at corner and Sneed is what he's advertised to be, Awuzie is as good as he's been in Cincinnati, McCreary continues to develop and take a step. Like, if they're up on top of these receivers and guys aren't getting open quickly into their routes, how does that affect the pass rush, right? Like, it's kind of the opposite way of building the defense. Like, could guys like a Rashad Weaver, like an Arden Key, could they be more effective this year because of the strength of the back end at corner? I don't know. I still subscribe to the theory of I don't care how good your corners are. If you can't generate pressure on the quarterback, eventually somebody's going to get open, and I still think that's the case. I do think the Titans are more equipped to defend longer into routes right now with the corner group that they have. And I wonder how that affects their pass rush.
And I think Zach touched on this as well. You know, obviously a lot of attention on L'Jarius Sneed joining the Titans and Shadobi Awuzie signing a free agent deal. You know, Raj McCreary, I feel like, has not gotten as much coverage.
Yep.
No pun intended. And, you know,
he's a good player.
He's a good player. I mean, I think he's, you know, that unsung hero of the Titans defense. And, you know, I like the three of them together, I think, could be one of the better, you know, trios in the secondary in the NFL. And just, you know, you obviously with Sneed comes with a lot of attention because he's been one of the better ones in the league over the past, you know, however long. But, you know, Roger McCreary, I feel like, hasn't gotten his, you know, the credit he deserves for what he's been able to do on defense. So I'm hoping that Denard Wilson, you know, coming in, maybe that will play to McCreary's strengths a little bit more, how he wants the secondary to play, yep. And therefore he'll get more attention that I think he has earned over the past couple of years.
Coy in Clarksville on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, who is the reigning Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy Football League champion, throws out the question, with the lack of depth at safety, does Rand Carthon bring in Justin Simmons or Condre Diggs this offseason? Maybe just playing the long game on the free safety market to get the price to come down. So one safety was off the market
earlier this week,
Marcus May, yeah. Who, you know, TD's talked about. We've talked about him in terms of potential adds for the Titans. He signs in Miami with the Dolphins. So that was kind of the first domino of that next wave of safeties to come off the market. I still think, and look, I know Zach said he would be fine with Molden. Like, I think Molden can play at safety, but I would like to have him as more of a depth piece than I would starting. So I still think it would be wise for the Titans to look at a Diggs or to look at a Simmons and bring them in to continue to add to that secondary. I think they're going to be interested in that. I'd be surprised if we got through the rest of this offseason when these guys sign and there wasn't some chatter about either a Simmons or a Diggs or whoever signing with the Titans. I do think they're going to take a look at adding another safety.
Who would you prefer of those two?
I would probably prefer Simmons, but I mean, it's close. Like, the thing with these guys is it's been an interesting development in the safety market because, you know, Byard got released by the Eagles and then was signed by the Bears pretty quickly. For you know, a decent amount of money. Like, he was signed for the Bears pretty quickly. So I was like, wow, okay, good for Kevin Byard. And then you saw a team starting, you know, cutting these big-name safeties left and right. So it's been a really interesting offseason on the safety market. You know, we talk about positions all the time that, you know, the NFL positions left and right are inflating in value. I mean, wide receiver Justin Jefferson signs that huge deal. CeeDee Lamb's going to sign a huge one. You know, Ja'Marr Chase, you know, running back, not getting much bigger, although McCaffrey did sign a nice deal. And safety, like safety right now, it's an interesting time to be a safety in the National Football League because the price isn't really jumping up all that much. I would probably prefer Simmons, but I think it's close.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know enough about either player to have.
Then we could have two J. Simmons on the defense.
Yes. Do they just both go with Simmons? I like it in some sports when you have two guys with the same last name and the same first initial, you have to go like Simmons, J.E. Simmons. So that would be funny, yes, but that's interesting. Yep. I mean, anytime there's a coaching change in any sport, you know, there's always that breath of fresh air.
Yep.
And I know that sometimes it can veer into the, to borrow a term from the afternoon show, toxic positivity. But what else do you expect when a coaching change happens? A coaching change happens because the previous coaching regime didn't work.
Right.
And there's obviously frustration among the fan base because of that. So I think you have, you know, I think there's optimism always abounds when there is a coaching change because it's, you know, a major change and hopefully will bring the team the success that you want it to have. But, you know, it's hard, especially on the defensive end. It's hard not to hear what Denard Wilson has had to say about the coverage of the secondary and not get excited compared to what it was.
More of your thoughts on the Titans coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll have Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports joining us at 8 o'clock. We'll get into all things NFL with him. More coming up next on the Titans. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Come play golf for 102.5 The Game and do some good at the same time. You're invited to the 615 Open presented by Gary Force Acura, Thursday, June the 20th at Hermitage Golf Course. You can come golf with celebrities on a beautiful course with all proceeds going to Souls for Souls, who helps local kids in need. This is going to be a lot of fun. Can't wait to see you there. Get more info now at 615open.com. Looking forward to that a week from today, our 615 Open golf tournament. Visit 615open.com. Robbie Stanley, Adam Vingan, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. We'll have Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll get into all things NFL with him. Taking your thoughts right now, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. The defensive side of the ball, I still think, as we talked about in the last segment, another addition could be coming at safety. One thing I am a little worried about and a little curious about, and I know Rex Road was drinking a little bit of the camp Kool-Aid last week when he was talking about the inside linebacker room, how, you know, Chance Campbell, Jack Gibbons, maybe a little bit better than people think, maybe a little bit better depth than people think. I hope so. We'll see. You know, and I will say, Chance Campbell has had some bad injury luck. I do think he's been a good player when he's been on the field. He's just barely been on the field. So we'll see if that translates, if he can stay healthy this year. I know it's not the same position that it used to be in the league. Like, the days of Patrick Willis and Ray Lewis, and there's just not a ton of those guys in the league anymore. And there's so much emphasis on defending the pass that the inside linebacker has become, I think, a devalued position throughout the league. But I do wonder, like, if you're the Titans, is that going to be something that bites you this year? There's not a ton of, like, you brought in Kenneth Murray, and I think, you know, we brought up the pass rush earlier. I do think Denard Wilson could use him in some different pass rushing scenarios this year. But Cedric Gray, you drafted in the fourth round. What could he bring to the table? Like, can they get away with inside linebacker this year not being a major problem on the defensive side of the ball? It doesn't have to be a big strength for them. Like, inside linebacker doesn't have to be – we don't have to look at inside linebacker this year and say, you know what, their inside linebacker play has been great. But can you get away with it being not a liability on the defensive side of the ball? Can they be solid? If that group can be solid, then I think you have the chance when you factor in the secondary that you've got and hopefully the production you get from a Simmons, a Landry, and a Sweat thrown in there, then you get the makings of potentially a good defense. You just can't have it be a total liability out there for you.
What are your expectations for Kenneth Murray? Because he has the pedigree.
Yeah.
But one thing, I mean, I fall into this trap too, and I think a lot of, you know, and I think the Titans tried to sell us on this with Andre Dillard last season. When a guy is a recent first-round pick, even if he hasn't worked out, he was still a first-round pick, right?
Yeah.
So clearly he's talented because he was a first-round pick. But, you know, Kenneth Murray, you know, has not lived up to expectations so far in his career, hoping to get a bit. You know, get off to a good start here in Tennessee after, you know, an okay start in Los Angeles with the Chargers. So what are reasonable expectations for Kenneth Murray in your
opinion? Yeah, it's a good question. Like, look, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I've watched a ton of Kenneth Murray play throughout his career to this point. Now, when they signed him, I did go and watch some film there and watch some stuff on YouTube and did some reading about Kenneth Murray. And the thought process is, like, when he is able to just rear back and go, and he's able to attack the football, he's got some instincts that you feel really good about. The other parts of the game, being in coverage, recognizing what's going on the offensive side of the ball, as you said, clearly it has not worked out to the level of where he was picked. That's why he's gone. That's why he's now here with the Titans on another team. So I don't have overly high expectations for Kenneth Murray this year. What I just talked about, though, I do think is intriguing. Like, can Denard Wilson identify a way to get him? Whereas, I mean, there's not a ton of thinking going. It's see ball, get ball. Like, can you, if you're Denard Wilson, can you find a role for Kenneth Murray where he's basically being used as, you know, a heat-seeking missile back there? You know, it's not the same comparison. They're not the same player. But it is kind of it's in some ways a similar situation to me to Rashawn Evans, right? Like, Rashawn Evans was a first-round pick by the Titans, clearly was drafted too high, and that position, like I said, is losing a little bit of value. And there were a lot of parts about Rashawn Evans' game that did not live up to snuff. And by the time he was done here, I mean, he was a healthy scratch at one point heading into the playoffs. But some of Rashawn Evans' best football in a Titans uniform was around the goal line, where it's really not overly complicated. You're seeing the football, you're going to get the football, and you're letting your instincts take over. Again, it's not a perfect comparison because I don't think Rashawn Evans and Kenneth Murray are, like, totally comparable. But I do think if you could carve out a role in terms of finding a way to utilize his athletic ability, which is clearly his biggest strength, that's why he went in the first round, that would be what, if I'm Denard Wilson, how do you find ways to get him in one-on-one matchups where he can take advantage of that.
Yeah, and it's funny you mentioned the Cam Kool-Aid. One thing that you and I have talked about, Robbie, as people who, you know, have primarily reported on the NHL, is the breathless reporting that comes out of NFL mini camps, training camps, etc. You know, the tracking of stats for quarterbacks and interceptions for defensive, you know, for defensive players. I always find that really interesting. And as you said, we can fall victim to that. We can see a player or a group perform well in practice and assume that that's going to extrapolate to the season.
Yeah.
So, like, it is always difficult to connect the dots between practice, the preseason, and the regular season. But you know, we're you know, when it comes to the inside linebacker position and Denard Wilson specifically, if Kenneth Murray flashes the camp, right, you can get excited, but you have to temper those expectations.
Yep.
Because we've seen plenty of players perform well in training camp, and it has not translated to the field during games that count.
No doubt about it. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Robbie, man. So, you know, it's weird, man. Like, I always looked at, and, you know, as far as Denard Wilson, I'm really excited about what he's going to do, but I always also am a realist in that it's the first time he's ever done it, and new coaches. like, I have buddies that are like, oh, our team's going to be good. I'm like, no, you got new coaches. You're going to suck. Like, you're supposed to suck. So I can't just assume my team's going to be good because we're all hyped up about a new coach. But I was always perplexed that Vrabel's linebackers suck so bad. Like, he's a Hall of Fame linebacker. I don't understand the translation. It's almost like a pitcher that can't hit. Like, pitchers can't hit. And it's so weird to me because it's like that's the thing he does. That's what he knows. You know what I mean? So I don't know, man. I love Vrabel as, like, the guy, but I'm surprised that his position group that he was so sorry.
Well, it's an interesting point. Thanks for the call, Adam. I mean, I would argue, especially, you know, David Long Jr., when he was healthy, that was pretty good, right? I thought he was a pretty good player. And he went to Miami last year and was, once again, a pretty good player for the Dolphins. So, I would disagree that the linebackers – like, they didn't get any good linebacker play throughout Vrabel's tenure here. Now, I will say, last year clearly was disappointing, right? And they took a chance last year. They did not re-sign David Long Jr. And I think it pretty clearly backfired on them, right? And, you know, was that the be-all, end-all? Was that the biggest difference on the Titans' defense last year? No. Like, there were bigger problems than just the absence of David Long Jr. But to his point, you know, Vrabel did play the position, and it is a little perplexing the way that they handled that spot last year. It was clearly a problem for them last year. And, again, it's a different league now. So, you know, inside linebacker was way more of an emphasis, you know, 90s, early 2000s, mid to late 2000s. And it's with the way the league's going right now and how much passing of the football goes on, it's a little bit different now. It still is important, right? Like, if you have a good player at inside linebacker, that is a strength for you. And we've seen that even as an example on some recent defense. I mean, think about Tampa, right? Like, Tampa, when they won the Super Bowl, yes, they had Brady. They had an incredible pass rush. They also had a couple guys at linebacker that could really, really move and made a big difference for them in that run to the Super Bowl. So, it's not the most important thing in the world, but it is something that would be nice to see them just not be totally hung out to dry at that position this year. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it is time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll do that. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up at 8 o'clock. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Road.
On the beach, I wear a bathing suit. I wear a bathing suit and often a long sleeve shirt because I'm in the avoiding cancer stage of my life.
And then here we go. Let's go. Kid with a train.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every morning here on the program. Either the Rob Rant or the Rex Rant. Or sometimes Vin can take over when he's on.
Yeah. That was out of context. Nick said, this is going to be out of context. I'm like, all right.
I worry a little bit about the file. Nick has this ever-growing, like, file of just clips, and there's some random Kuharsky ones in there.
I smoke weed constantly.
Which is, that one's definitely my favorite. I don't, it's going to be hard to top that one.
Kuharsky is on vacation as well.
Yes.
At the beach in his bathing suit and long-sleeve shirt, and I respect the reasons for the long-sleeve shirt. Jill Jelinek was on with us yesterday and said she pictured Paul drinking a pina colada. I can't see him as a pina colada guy.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Does not. Maybe a Long Island iced tea guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's from that area of the country.
Yes. So. Yes. So I want to talk today specifically about Tiger Woods, but really about like the end of kind of an era of athletes here. It was interesting. So Tom Brady got his little ceremony last night by the Patriots. He was inducted into the Patriots Hall of Fame. Had got his jersey retired, all that stuff. It was cool to see, like, they had Randy Moss up there, and Bill Belichick came back, and, you know, there was a lot of people at Gillette Stadium. It was cool. Like, I saw some clips. I didn't sit there and watch the whole thing, but I saw some clips from Brady's little Hall of Fame speech for the Patriots. And it was cool to see him. We're going to have Charles Robinson on here in a few minutes, who had a very interesting conversation with Brady yesterday. But, you know, That era, you have Brady playing quarterback, and look, Brady's era lasted for 20-something years, so it's a little bit different to compare him. But him, You got LeBron in the NBA who's reaching 40 years old. Like, some of the great athletes that we have seen over the last 20 years here, some of the greatest athletes of all time, are getting to the point where they're either aging out, as in Brady's case, retiring, aging to the point where they're not really being in serious contention anymore. Tiger Woods, you know, with the injuries and everything that he's gone through, hasn't really been in contention for a major golf tournament in a while. He did win the Masters in 2019. You know, LeBron's still a really good player, but the Lakers at the moment aren't really a factor in the NBA. So I think it's fair to say that a lot of the guys that have been dominating these sports that we've watched, we're in the midst of kind of a changing of the guard, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's Mahomes in the NFL. Scheffler's on a heck of a run in golf. You know, you've got Luka and the Celtics and the way that they're playing in the NBA right now. It's a changing of the guard with some of these guys. And I'm watching, you know, I got one screen on the U.S. Open and what's going on right now as it starts. And Tiger, at the moment, is tied for third. So he's one under through four holes. Again, we're very early into the golf tournament. Most of the guys haven't even teed off yet today. So this could change. But it is cool to look at the U.S. Open leaderboard and not have to look too far down and see Tiger Woods there. And I just wonder, like, can he ever get back to a spot where he is competing for another major championship? He's at 15. Obviously, Jack Nicklaus has the record at 18. And it looked like for a while that Tiger was going to breeze past that. And then he had everything going on in his personal life and the injuries and then the car crash and all that other stuff. And, you know, right now, like, to see him win one more major would be really cool. I don't expect it. Like, I don't think we're ever going to see him win another major again. But it would be really cool if he found a way this weekend at the U.S. Open to get in contention here. And it just is interesting, like, for people who are a certain age. You know, I grew up, I was born in the early 90s, you know, went to school in late 90s, early to mid 2000s. And that, you know, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, LeBron, Kobe, you know, go up and down the list. Most of these guys are either not playing anymore or are kind of on the back part of their careers holding on. And I'm just watching Tiger right now, and it would be really cool to see him do what he if he could remain in contention and get to a spot where he's competing for another major championship. It makes me feel a little old. And I guess that's my rant part of this, is like, some of the great players that we have seen over the last 20 years, they're not really around much anymore. Like, watching, I don't know that we'll ever see anybody do what Brady did ever again, even though Mahomes looks like he could be on that track. But it's a really cool kind of scene right now. Tiger made a putt to go to 1 under, and place just went nuts. So, again, we're Thursday morning. They just teed off. I have no idea if he'll be able to sustain this moving forward, and most of the guys haven't teed off. But it would be really cool if there was a way this weekend where Tiger was in it coming down the stretch at the U.S. Open. Little nostalgia.
I'm wondering who will represent the players you mentioned for the next generation or the current generation. I think Patrick Mahomes,
for sure,
comes to mind immediately. You know, in that Brady role, perhaps, yep, as the quarterback who consistently wins the Super Bowl. You know, in the NBA, there are a lot of options. It could be Luka Doncic. It could be Jason Tatum. It could be Anthony Edwards. It could be Victor Wembanyama. That's right. You know, Chet Holmgren. It could be, you know, I'm trying to think of, you know, who else? What other sports? Like, I mean, you're thinking about baseball right now. Like, you know, another thing you mentioned, like, what year was the McGuire Sosa home run chase? That was late
98?
90s.
Okay, so 97, 98?
So yeah. I was like eight. I was like 9 or 10 years old when that was going on.
Yeah.
Like, we haven't seen that chase in a bit. You know, we also had Barry Bonds in there too a little bit later on. Not that he was, you know, your mileage may vary on Barry Bonds, but. Like, is it Aaron Judge? Is it? I mean, Shohei Ohtani is another one for sure. You know, as someone who, you know, who, yeah, like, I'm just trying to think of who those players are that represented to us, those of us who were born in the late 80s, early 90s, like you and I, like, who are the Brady's, Manning's, LeBron's, Bryant's, Woods, etc.
Well, just like individual star, like it's a different era because social media is such a big part of it now. Like, it's amazing to me to go back and look at some of the clips, really of life in general, but especially sports, where, like, you know, Tiger back in his heyday, there was no social media. I mean, there weren't people out there just left and right gagging over everything with their phones. They were watching the actual event take place, and the crowd reactions, I think, were a lot different back then. So, like, being a celebrity and being a superstar in sports is different now than it was even 15, 20 years ago, right? Like, there's more attention. There's more people with cameras. It's a different era to be a star. So, like, will we ever see anybody like Tiger Woods in golf again? I don't know. Like, that's a heck of a bar to live up to, both with the performance on the course, but also just like the icon that he became. Like, that's a hard combo, right? Of the performance, either on the field, on the court, on the course, wherever, and the icon, the cultural icon that he was. I don't know if we'll ever see anything like that again in the sport of golf. And look, I mean, even at the top of his game, like, he was one of the most recognizable people in the world, regardless mm-hmm. of what sport or job you want to throw out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And it made people care about golf, which is not a sport that, you know, it has a lot of widespread appeal.
Yeah.
I mean, he wore the red on Sundays, right? Like, that was always fun to see. And there have been plenty of golfers who have attempted to fill that void. You know, we talked about Scottie Scheffler. We talked about Rory McIlroy, yeah. Bryson DeChambeau. Like, there have been, you know, the other thing about it is the live golf of it all, right?
Nice.
Like, that has changed the perception of golf and everything like that. So
it hasn't been good.
That Tiger Woods didn't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm wondering if that aspect of it changes the ability of someone to stand out like Tiger Woods in that sport.
We'll be joined by Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up next. We'll get into all things NFL with him, including very interesting conversation he had with Tom Brady. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.